Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. And it's just like a dream come true for me to be with you every day to talk to you about this very important thing in our lives, our small businesses. And I know you're just thrilled to death to be listening, aren't you? to be part of this. And I know you can tell that our Brain Trust members are like that. They love this. They love being able to talk to you about what's. And I know I'm having a little fun, folks, but it's true. It really is. You got folks like Dr. Ellen Frankenberg, who's with us right now. I'm going to introduce you to you in a second. She's so excited about being here. She's all a Twitter. Dr. Frankenberg is a family psychologist. She specializes in consulting with families in business. And she's here for at least two reasons, one of which is she's a really smart and a really cool lady, but the second of which is because the reason she's here today, that's why she's a member of our Brain Trust and our family business expert in our Brain Trust. But the reason she's here today is because of this week, what this week is, and we're going to talk about that in a second. She's the author of Your Family, Inc. Ellen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be here.
And I want to remind the folks that I went on the air in 1997 for the first time, and Ellen, you were on my show the first week, and you still come back. I know what you're thinking, I know what you were feeling, but what are you thinking?
I usually enjoy it, Jim.
Oh, you usually enjoy it, huh?
Usually enjoy it.
So that implies maybe not always so much. Is that what you're saying? One thing about Ellen, folks, is, you know, there's not a lot of hyperbole with Ellen. You're going to get what you see is what you get. Ellen, this is Family Business Week, and that's a big deal, isn't it?
It certainly is. Family businesses are 80-90% of U.S. companies, and that's true around the world as well. One-third of Fortune 500 companies are still held by families, and it's an enormous part of our economy.
And so many large companies that aren't public companies are
right.
Still family. You know, I think about some companies, some people that I know that are big companies, national brand names. They're not public. They're not public. And I'm thinking of the Kiplinger folks that produced
right.
The Kiplinger letters. Steve Forbes' company is family owned. His family works in that business. Knight Kiplinger, Austin Kiplinger, their families work in those businesses. Those are very large. They're not small businesses anymore, but they are family owned. And there's something about the family that holds things together sometimes, isn't it?
Well, Fidelity Investments, I think, is another example, and that's a classic company founded after World War II, and now the granddaughter of the founder, a young woman named Abigail Johnson, she's now, I think, maybe about 43, is slated to take over that company when her father retires. So it's a classic example of American entrepreneurism.
Well, and the only reason why I think it's important to mention the big companies because Ellen, as we know, there are millions and millions of smaller companies that we love them to death. But the reason it's important, I think, for the big companies to mention this about the big companies, Ellen, is because these are companies that have clearly reached the size where it could be very much to their advantage to become public companies and to go public and not be closely held anymore. And like Kiplinger, like Forbes and maybe Fidelity, I don't know if they're a publicly traded company or not.
They are not.
Yeah. And there could be a lot of financial rewards in going public, but they know that the family element would be jeopardized. Perhaps.
I think there's lots of reasons why this keeps happening, Jim. I think there's an inherent trust with your family members. Classic startups, the man starts the business in the garage or the basement, and the wife does the bookkeeping, and when the first son or daughter comes along, they start to pitch in, and it evolves in a very organic way. because the trust. I also think there's families represent patient capital. They're not just looking at the most recent market quarter.
Say that. Say that again. Say that again. Families.
They're they offer patient capital.
They represent patient capital. I like that term.
They are not just looking at the last quarter in terms of the kinds of gyrations that Wall Street sometimes goes through.
Right.
They think in generational terms. They think, will this company be here 20 years from now?
Well, and they also know. Ellen, as we take a break, they also know that the founder can remember lots of quarters, maybe lots of years when things weren't so good that if somebody had been looking them through a magnifying glass, they would have been fired, and yet they came back and succeeded. And that's the perspective, I think, the patient capital perspective. That I like that term, and thank you for bringing it to us. Quick break, 20 till, right back with Dr. Ellen Frankenberg. Happy Family Business Week. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Dr. Ellen Frankenberg, the author of Your Family, Inc. And this is Family Business Week. We're celebrating it all week long. And Ellen, on behalf of all the family businesses out there that I know you help, and all the impact you make with your book and with your speaking, with your columns that you write about this, to promote family businesses, not only to promote family businesses, but to promote healthy and successful and viable family businesses. On behalf of all those folks, I thank you.
Well, thank you very much for acknowledging all the good people out there that are contributing so much to our country.
They're worthy, aren't they?
They certainly are.
They're fun folks to represent and to work for, aren't they?
Yes. Uh-huh.
They're the best people in the world, small businesses. And, of course, you can't go very far in the world of small businesses without bumping into a family business. Somehow there's a daughter or a son or a son-in-law or a husband and wife. And, you know, Ellen, when family businesses don't work, it's ugly. I've seen it. And it's ugly. But when it does work, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
It certainly is. And right now, you know, there's a massive transition going on as those famous World War II vets who were tremendous entrepreneurs when they came back. They're now in their 70s and 80s, and they're passing many businesses on to the second through the third generation.
Right.
And the second generation, raised in the same household with the same kinds of education and religion and same work ethic.
And baggage.
And, you know, they fought in the back seat all through the summer vacation, but then they had a good time the next morning. So they know how to get over squabbles in many cases. But it's the third generation where it gets tricky because
really, you've
got cousins and you've got kids raised in different households with somewhat different parenting styles. And you've got two or three eldest kids who are used to being the super responsible one.
Mm-hmm.
You've got two or three youngest kids who are used to being the risk takers, and they're spoiled rotten, of course. And so you get this mix of personalities and a little bit different family flavors. And so I have known third-generation companies that do very well, led by a couple of cousins or people that are members of the family. But that's when it gets tricky, and that's when I believe you really have to be careful in terms of selecting the right leadership.
Ellen, there's an old saw that you've heard maybe you coined this one yourself that goes something like this: father founds it, first generation founds it, second generation grows it, third generation blows it.
Right.
And we've all seen that. We've all seen examples of where that wasn't true. What is it that makes any generation, to make the continuation of a company to the next generation successful? And you know companies that are in their fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh generation, and they're still successful. What is the key to defying the old saw that I just gave?
I think they need to select the most competent leadership within the family.
Regardless of the primogeniture thing, regardless of the age?
Regardless of their birth order or their gender. And, you know, family businesses you know, the United States rejected monarchy in 1776, and yet there's still this feeling in family businesses that the eldest son should inherit the kingdom. And
that's primogeniture, right?
People ask his wife in the supermarket, well, I thought John was the oldest. but they really need to select the strongest candidate from the successor generation, and that's the work I do. I help. We do some assessments. We use inventories that can be taken on the Internet. We can compare a family business member and their potential for leadership to candidates from businesses across the country, because many of these folks have not had to compete in other corporations for jobs. So we can assess them thoroughly, finding the right individual for a particular role in leadership. I think performance evaluations for family members are important, that they just don't have a free ride.
So don't just let them get the job. Make them audition.
Right. But then as they're on the job, I think they need to continually grow and be accountable for their performance, as would happen in any other major corporation.
Do you see the dynamic in the house having a significant effect on the dynamic as it moves to the business?
How
mom and pop treated the kids and vice versa around the dinner table. Do you see that kind of thing being important to take to the office?
I think it gets played out in the office, certainly, because those relationships are formed early in life. But I also think we try to be clear that there are times when you're together as family because you love and enjoy being together, and hopefully you don't talk business, especially as adults.
But I'm not talking about talking business as much. I'm talking about things like the families that I know where the kids just keep turning out. I mean, the family just keeps turning out quality individuals, quality managers, are the people who have a lot of love and respect, and they're raised so well by grandpa and grandma and by mom and dad and on down. There's a family dynamic that's so high quality that it transfers over to the business.
I think you're exactly right, and it's a wonderful thing to see when it happens, and you certainly recognize when it doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, I think parents just have two jobs, Jim, which is to set limits and to nurture.
Right.
You think about it, everything else kind of falls into those. The comfort, the coaching, the talking late in the night.
And the nursery. Setting limits, that can be the hard part, especially in the 21st century, apparently.
Exactly.
Stand by. Dr. Ellen Frankenberg is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about family businesses, and you know why? Because this is your week. 10 Tips. Stay with us.
One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready. Now go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue.
We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate. Folks, when you go to our Brain Trust list and you look at the categories, you'll see the quantity in our Brain Trust, the quantity numbers out on the right. That's how many members of our Brain Trust are experts in that area. You know, there's one for 8 and 3 and 5 and 11 and 27 and 12 and 10. Oh, there's one. There's one category that only has one expert in it. And that's our family business category, and that one expert is our original expert on family business now in our eighth year, Ellen Frankenberg. And Ellen, thank you for being with us all this time. Thank you for being such a great supporter of what we do and for family businesses. I'd like for you to give us your website, please.
It's Frankenberg Group, Frankenberg Group, all one word, frankenberggroup.com.
Okay, yeah, we can find your book there, right? Your Family, Inc.,
Your Family, Inc., and also FamilyBusinessMagazine.com carries my regular column, and some of those columns are also available at FrankenbergGroup.com.
And also, your book has just now been published in Spanish, right?
It's available in Spanish.
Congratulations.
Similar issues all over the world as families go through transitions.
Well done. And folks, as you know, as you've heard me say before, no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience, and Ellen's certainly an example of that. Ellen, this is Family Business Week, and folks, if you're a family business owner, if you got family working in your business, even if you just got a teenager working part-time, that's the only other family member in the company, even if that you're a family business. So, you know, if you think about it, Ellen, anybody who owns a business, even if the family isn't working in the business, it's a family business, isn't it? I mean, the family has to support the owners such
well,
a such a degree.
Well, there are 40-year-old entrepreneurs out there, you know, who may intend to pass their business on to family someday. They're just not quite there yet. But I think another thing that's important, Jim, in terms of what you spoke about, healthy parenting and healthy relationships in the business, is what we do is bring the family together so they can communicate better. We have family forums. They learn some skills about how to resolve conflict, how to work together most effectively.
We don't get it. When we get kids and when we have kids and therefore build a family, they don't give us instructions, do they?
They don't give us an instruction manual, and sometimes families are doing okay, but it's good to come together and check the oil and water and develop a family strategic plan so the whole family understands if you want a job in this business, you need to work someplace else for 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm.
prove yourself there, and then come back and have something to offer.
Do you recommend that? Is that a standard SOP for you?
It's critical.
I think it is, too.
If they want a job in management, get a college degree. If you want a technical job, get some other training in whatever way you can.
You're not going to get a high-paying, powerful job in this company if you aren't qualified to do the job.
Right.
And you recommend that when the kids graduate from college, that they go seek a job somewhere else and work for
right.
a year or two or three.
In a related industry, a company one step ahead of the family company, if
yeah.
there is one, so they can learn how to
I think
to
that's
do
such
things.
A good thing to recommend.
And to bring something, and then all the employees and will know that this person has some competencies to offer. And for the rest of their life, the individual will know that they could have made it elsewhere. It wasn't just daddy's.
I have known many people who didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, I've talked to them, and they've said there was something missing. They either didn't know if they could have made it, or maybe they wish they had. You know, I have known some who actually have said to me, you know, I think I probably would rather have gone and done something else and never have done this.
Right, and otherwise they'll never know. And at 40, they get really restless.
Right.
So I think it's an excellent idea, and I highly recommend it. It's very hard sometimes, though, after you've invested $100,000 in a college education.
Well, and plus the fact that
don't forget
you know the kids have worked weekends and
college.
Maybe you know after school, summer school, some after,
yeah.
you know between years of school during college, so they've worked in the business and so in some ways it doesn't make any sense for them to go somewhere else, but it's a very disciplined and smart thing to do, isn't it?
They need an introduction in summer jobs and part-time jobs. I think that's great. And they learn, they get the feeling and the appreciation for the business. But then let them go someplace else and let somebody else take the rough edges off.
You know, Austin Kiplinger, the patriarch of Kiplinger, did that very thing. He left and went and worked several years away, and so did Knight Kiplinger. These are both the son of Austin, the grandson of the founder. They both did that, and that company's still doing well today after all these years. That's a good example. Ellen, give us your website one more time.
FrankenbergGroup.com.
FrankenbergGroup.com. Thank you, Ellen. Happy Family Business Week.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Ellen Frankenberg, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Ellen Frankenberg. She'll be back. I will be too, but it'll be next time. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.